An agriculture group wants heads to roll over the sugar importation controversy. Independent news site Bulatlat launched the court order for government to stop blocking its website. Still on the red tagging issue, we'll speak with Raffy Magno of Angat Buhay, which had also been linked to, or by government, to the communist movement. The Commission on the Filipino Language issues an order for the pullout of books that contain what it calls anti-government text. And the Okta Research Group believes COVID-19 infections in Metro Manila may have already peaked. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Topping the midday news, an agriculture group wants those involved in the sugar importation controversy sacked. The government is probing the release of a resolution allowing the importation of 300,000 tons of sugar without the approval of President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. A now-deleted document from the Sugar Regulatory Administration's website earlier showed someone signed the resolution on behalf of Marcos as chairman of the SRA's board. SINAG Chairman Rosendo So says the president should be able to work with people he trusts.
Tayo na lang, no? Ordinary tayong tao. Eh tayo, pangalan natin, kung pinamahal na hindi natin alam eh, talagang pwede natin idemanda yung nasa, yung tao na pumirma. Ito pa is our president. Malaking problema yan kung hindi niya tinanggal yung mga tao na ito.
So also against importing more sugar, saying it's not much cheaper than buying from local producers.
Kasi yung importation, nakita ko, sinabi nila, mataas din eh. So wala na yung 50 pesos. No? Nasa 70 pesos to 80 pesos din ang tinitingin nila dun sa importation. So malapit dun sa local production natin. So kung ganun lang ang diferensya, dapat tulungan ang mga magsasaka natin para at least ang ating local producers para mag-produce ng mas marami. Diba?
The controversial procurement service of the Philippine Budget Department again in hot water over yet another pandemic supply deal. This time it's for the procurement of personal protective equipment or PPEs. This report.
State auditors flagged the controversial procurement service of the Philippine Budget Department or PSDBM over its purchase of personal protective equipment worth 1.3 billion pesos. The Commission on Audit says purchase orders were made without the necessary safety requirement. In its 2021 audit report, the COA pointed out the supplier did not submit the Certificate of Medical Device Notification, or CMDN, for the PPEs. The CMDN is an authorization issued by the Food and Drug Administration. Without it, the COA says the safety of the PPEs beneficiaries, especially medical staff directly exposed to COVID, couldn't be guaranteed. Among the seven purchase orders, six were fully delivered and fully paid. The last order, worth over 500 million pesos, was neither delivered nor paid as of end 2021. The PSDBM, however, argues the CMDN is only required if the item is to be commercially sold in the market. The agency adds the PPEs were bought during extraordinary times and that there was a need to immediately make the purchase. The COA, however, insists importers and manufacturers are still required to secure a CMDN under an FDA circular. Several health workers groups expressed anger over the purchase of the PPEs without the certificate. They are calling for a probe into the issue.
Isang tingin natin dito ay maaring reason, isang factor kung bakit marami ang na-infect, maraming health workers ang napahama. Dahil bukod sa inadequate, napaka-late pa na provide sa ating mga health workers.
Hindi rason na dahil mayroong pandemya, hindi na dapat dumaan ito sa mga ganitong pagsusuri.
In a separate audit report, COA flagged the purchase of supposed pricey yet outdated laptops for teachers that the PSDBM made for the Education Department. The PSDBM also made headlines last year when it was implicated in the Health Department's allegedly overpriced purchase of medical supplies from Pharmaly Pharmaceuticals.
The Philippine Telecoms Regulator ordered by a Quezon City Court to stop blocking an independent news website previously red-tagged by authorities. The court granted the plea of Bulatlat.com for a preliminary injunction against the order of the National Telecommunications Commission, but it was ordered to post a 100,000 peso bond to answer for damages defendants might suffer due to the injunction. The court says the NTC's order curtails Bulatlat's right to free speech. Bulatlat's managing editor calls the ruling a collective win for Philippine independent media. The NTC ordered the blocking of several websites allegedly linked to communists back in June upon the order of then National Security Advisor Hermogenes Esperon.
Usapin naman ang pag-rescind ng letter coming from the National Security Council. Umaasa kami na yung bagong National Security Advisor at yung deputy National Security Advisor ngayon, nakauupo lang, sana ay actionan nila yung demand namin for the rescission of the letter of the NSC, which is the basis for the NTC memorandum then. Sinabi nila publicly ni na Carlos at Banlawi na hindi nila ito tolerate yung red tagging.
Well, even before the red tagging of Bulatlat, government linked several individuals and groups to the communist movement, including Angat Buhay, a nonprofit group led by former Vice President Lenny Robredo. What challenge does this pose for Angat Buhay as it pushes for its advocacies under the Marcos administration? Joining us now is Angat Buhay Executive Director Rafi Magno. Rafi, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Magandang hapon. Magandang hapon po sa lahat.
All right. So, pag-usapan natin tong red tagging. Na red tag ang Bulatlat. And you do know about the controversy now involving KWF and certain authors also being linked to anti-government, misgivings. I don't know what you call it now, dissent. How have you been handling it? And because, you know, they've come late to the party, you were one of the first party goers here when it comes to red tagging. What have you learned? What can you tell them about what they're going through right now?
Kami, third day after the launch, na-red tag na agad. Siguro learning namin is that dapat hindi siya tinitake lightly. The reason why we released a statement right away and we forwarded the concern to our legal team is to make sure na hindi hayaan ng organization namin na basta-basta na lang kaming bintangan ng kung ano-anong bagay na hindi naman totoo. And we are very serious with what we've shared to the public about pursuing that case against doon sa mga perpetrators noong maling mga balita na yon.
Ano ba kasi ang, sa pananaw nyo, ano ba ang idudulot nitong red tagging? Because the red tagging is on you, on other entities, but ultimately, will it have an effect on the public at large?
Maidudulot na maayos, wala. Kasi sa tingin namin, yung red tagging, isa sa mga madadaling paraan para sa ibang miyembro ng pamahalaan or ng ibang organisasyon para patahimikin yung mga taong nagsasabi ng dissent patungkol sa kanila or sa kanilang programa. Sa tingin namin, very undemocratic yun kasi hindi naman dapat pinapatahimik ng basta-basta yung mga taong gustong magpahayag ng pagtutol sa kung anumang bagay ang kanilang pinupush. Pero more than yung maapektuhan kami as an organization, nakakalungkot ipahayaan natin magpatuloy ang ganitong klaseng sistema dahil nagbibuild ito ng takot, takot sa mga ordinaryong Pilipino para magpahayag ng kanilang dissent sa napakaraming bagay. At kapag napangunahan na tayo ng takot at napatahimik na tayo dahil sa takot, sa tingin namin, isa na yun sa mga rason rason para gumuho yung pillars natin ng demokrasiya sa ating bansa.
Kasi halimbawa, when you talk about Angat Buhay, right, what you're doing right now is you are trying to further what you saw during the campaign season. Maraming nagsabi na nabuhay ang spirit ng volunteerism no noong nakaraang eleksyon at ito ay pinagpapatuloy nyo lamang. Pag nangyari ang red tagging at naka-apekto ito sa inyo, hindi lamang sa inyo, kundi dun sa mga taong nais nyo sanang tulungan, pero sila mismo ay natatakot na maugnay sa inyo at therefore hindi sila matutulungan. Ito ba'y nakikita nyong isa ring malaking posibilidad kapag nagpatuloy ang red tagging, hindi lang sa inyong organisasyon, kundi sa iba pang mga entities, Rafi?
Malaking posibilidad yon kapag nagpatuloy ang ganito. Kasi kami niniwala kami na yung democratic government always welcomes the participation of citizens as active volunteers or through non-government organizations. So nabuo ang civil society sector, nabuo ang non-government organizations para matugunan, no? Hindi lamang yung mga pagkukulang ng pamahalaan, pero pati na rin yung mga hakulangan na napapaabot doon sa mga lugar kung saan hindi kaagad na bibigyan ng atensyon, no? Or mga sektor na hindi agad nabibigyan ng atensyon yung kanilang mga hinain, no? Or mga kailangan na mabigyan ng solusyon. So kaya sa tingin namin it goes beyond our organization. Yung pag-red tag hindi lamang sa Angat Buhay, pati na rin sa ibang mga non-government organizations will greatly affect, no? Yung partnership that we're trying to build not only with the government but also with the people that we are working with as a ground.
Well, let's talk about that partnership right now, because even before you formally launched Angat Buhay, there were several calamities already that happened. And you were there and government was there, even if it was marred by, you know, a little bit of controversy with some of the donations being picked up on social media as, you know, you were trying to piggyback or that the DSWD was not doing its job. It became sort of politicized yet again. How do you isolate the operations of Angat Buhay from what just happened a couple of months back, just a few months back?
We are very deliberate, no, every time we respond, no, doon sa needs ng ating communities. Again, paulit-ulit namin sinasabi, we are not here to compete with the government, no. Nandito kami para makatulong, para matugunan at para ma-fill in yung gaps, no, para sa ating mga kababayan. So we are not in any way, no, competing with any government agencies. Nabuo ang non-government or organization na Angat Buhay to really inspire our volunteers, no, the rest of the Filipino people to do good and makiambag, no, doon sa mga pangangailangan ng ating bansa, no. So kaya nakakalungkot na may mga ganong klaseng issues, but at the same time, it will not deter us, no, from continuing what we've started, at maging inspirasyon sa napakaraming tao para magpatuloy din sa mga mabubuti nilang ginagawa para sa kanilang mga kababayan.
To your mind, Rafi, what do you think must happen to not see the politicization of the existence of Angat Buhay? Kasi sa inyo, very clear, klaro sa inyo. Pero sa labas, iba pa rin ang pananaw, iba pa rin ang pagtukoy sa inyo. So ano sa tingin mo ang kailangan mangyari para makita kayo bilang kung ano talaga ang sinasabi niyong lugar at imahe ng inyong organization? And that's what you just said. It's riding on the spirit of volunteerism and multiplying it, if possible, through this non-profit organization of yours, Rafi.
I think both external and internal. Sa amin, we're also very clear with our volunteers that we are here not to compete with any government agencies. No, we're here to really help and to support, no, kung ano yung mga mabubuti nilang ginagawa, especially kung ang makikinabang dito ay ang ating mga kababayan. But externally, I think siguro pag humupa na yung tension after the elections at nakita nila kung gaano din kami ka-consistent with how we operate and how we implement our projects, no, sa tingin ko mas maintindihan ng general public yung rason kung bakit kami andito. Again, very clear sa amin yung aming intentions that this goes beyond politics and even personalities involved during the campaign. And I guess yan yung challenge sa amin, to really be consistent and to make sure that we abide, no, doon sa pinapaniwalaan namin. Of course, it also doesn't mean na hindi rin kami aalma if ever magkaroon ng mga bagay na hindi nararapat, no, para sa ating bayan.
So patuloy kayong magmamatsyag, patuloy pa rin kayong magbabantay?
Definitely, kasi that's how you develop active citizens, eh. Hindi naman dahil willing ka tumulong, hindi ka na pwedeng umalma or hindi ka na pwedeng magsabi na, uy, mali yan, uy, dapat ganito yung gagawin natin. I guess we really need to be good examples also to our volunteer networks. No? Na ganun yung pakikipag-ugnayan ng mga Pilipino dapat sa ating pamahalaan. Hindi sila kalaban agad-agad, no? Pero kung sila ay may ginagawang katiwalian, aalma tayo. Pero kung ito ay para sa ikabubuti ng ating bayan, di makikipagtulungan tayo.
You mentioned a while ago that it's important to foster the partnership between your organization and also government. You know, I have to tell you, Rafi, I've interviewed DSWD Secretary Erwin Tulfo many times already since he was appointed. And I have to tell you that each and every time I interviewed him, he would always mention Angat Buhay, na nakikipagtulungan ang DSWD at consistent, hindi lamang daw ang DSWD ang Angat Buhay, lahat ng pwedeng tumulong. He recognizes this. How important is it for you that you have a DSWD head that recognizes your organization? And what does this mean now about the partnership that you have with the government? Nagiging maayos nga ba ang pakikitungo nyo sa isa't isa despite just having come from a very divisive elections in May?
Yes, actually, sobrang okay ang coordination namin with DSWD. So we're very happy that si Secretary Tulfo recognizes not only our existence, no, but also our small contribution, no, doon sa mga pangangailangan ng ating bayan. We actually wanted to meet him, no, para makapag usap kami kung ano yung mga gagawin at mga plano ng Angat Buhay at kung saan din kami pwedeng makatugon, no, sa pangangailangan ng DSWD at ng iba pang mga ahensya ng pamahalaan. We are also working with different non-government organizations to pursue different agendas, specifically sa education, health, and disaster relief and rehabilitation. So yung Angat Buhay is really here to work with different organizations, no, government agencies, non-government organizations, even religious organizations, no, to really forward our agenda, no, to help our kababayans, no, na nangangailangan.
And to those who think that this is nothing but a mechanism, a vehicle for 2028, what do you say to that?
Parang wala namang hindi yan kasama sa plano ng Angat Buhay, no? Usapin ng politika sa 2028, no, startup NGO kami, so we are making sure that lahat ng processes namin are in place for us to operate properly. So doon yung aming eyeball nakatuon. Wala sa kahit na anong klaseng usapin ng politika.
So kahit sino, no matter the political persuasion, can sign up and volunteer at hindi nyo pagsasara ng pinto kung hindi nyo kaalyado.
Definitely. Wala naman po sa sign-up sheets ng Angat Buhay kung ano yung political leaning and political ideologies ng mga volunteers natin. For as long as you believe in the principles of transparency, accountability, and people's participation, di go tayo. May kipagtulungan tayo. No? Pero wala sa aming hindi tinitingnan ang political leaning mo para magiging mabuting Pilipino. So kahit saan, kung sinong binoto mo, kung kahit anong color yan, for as long as you want to help and assist our kababayans, then we can work together.
Rafi Magna there, Executive Director of Angat Buhay. Nice to see you, Rafi. Thanks for joining us today. Take care and keep safe.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pilipina. Maraming salamat po.
Take care. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention relaxes its COVID-19 guidelines. The nation's top public health agency has dropped its recommendation for Americans to quarantine if they come into close contact with an infected person. People also no longer need to stay at least 6 feet away from each other. Officials say the changes are driven by a recognition that an estimated 95% of Americans aged 16 and above have acquired some level of immunity either from being vaccinated or from being infected. Other changes recommended by the agency will be particularly important for schools, which resume classes this month in many parts of the country. The Philippine government has yet to decide if it will extend the state of calamity in the country due to the COVID pandemic. Malacañang says it will wait for the health department's recommendation on the matter. The state of calamity declaration is set to lapse on September 12. Without an extension, the emergency use authorization of COVID vaccines will cease to be valid. The emergency procurement and price controls for COVID drugs, as well as health workers' benefits, will also end. DOH officer in charge Maria Rosario Vergara earlier said the country should first ramp up booster vaccination and ensure that its wall of immunity is high before the state of calamity is lifted.
If on state of calamity, the provisions of this law will be invalid already. At dito po nakataya ang mga EUA ng ating bakuna, nakataya ang ating mga tax exemptions para po dun sa mga assistance na nakukuha natin. Nakataya rin po dito at nakatali ang emergency procurement na atin pong nagagawa because of the pandemic. And nakatali rin po dito ang pag-control natin ng presyo ng iba't ibang commodities because of the pandemic.
The Health Department recorded more than 4,500 new COVID cases and 27 new deaths Thursday. This brings the number of active cases to nearly 38,000, the highest since April 1st. The positivity rate from August 7 to 10 is at 18.3%. Despite the continued rise in cases, the Okta Research Group believes COVID-19 infections in Metro Manila may have already peaked. Professor Guido David says there is a noted decrease in the COVID-19 growth rate in the region, which is at just 1%. That's down from 22% recorded last week.
Pero wala kasiguraduhan na tuloy-tuloy na yan na pababa na or na nasa peak na tayo. May possibility, pero hindi sure yan. Nakikita pa lang ngayon as it unfolds. So we have to wait mga 1 week. Hindi tayo alarm, hindi tayo nagtatatang alert level. But we must still be aware and improve. Kasi may mga pumapano pa rin. Meron pa rin nagiging severe at critical cases. Kaya may mga namamatay.
The health department cautiously optimistic as Metro Manila sees a slight downward trend in COVID cases. The agency says it will carefully look at the trends to determine if the number of new infections in the region is really declining. That's as the country's overall positivity rate slightly increases. Severe and critical cases have also risen in the past days.
Kaso ay patuloy na tumataas. Ang ating positivity rate is now at 18.5% nationally. Sa NCR po, 17.7. Medyo bumaba because as we have said a while ago, nagpa-plateau ang mga kaso sa National Capital Region. But this doesn't give us that conclusion na talagang bumababa. We will still be monitoring the trends. Ito po minsan is a play of the different factors katulad ng pagsusumite ng samples for testing. Nationally, nananatili po tayong nasa low-risk case classification kahit na meron na tayong bahagyang pagtaas sa ating ICU admissions at sa mga severe at critical cases. Upang mapanatili po natin ito, patuloy po tayong sumunod sa ating mga health and safety protocols. At upang mas mapatatag natin ang ating wall of immunity, let's get the job done through our Pinas Lakas campaign and let's get our boosters done bilang proteksyon natin sa ating mga kababatang magbabalik eskwela.
We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, various groups denounce the Commission sa Wikang Filipino's purge of books, which it tagged as subversive and anti-government. Details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back. Here's still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. An agriculture group wants heads to roll over the sugar importation controversy. Independent news site Bulatlat lauds the court order for government to stop blocking its website. The Commission on the Filipino Language issues an order for the pullout of books that contain what it calls anti-government text. And the Okta Research Group believes COVID-19 infections in Metro Manila may have already peaked. Back with more news, the Philippine Commission on the Filipino Language issues an internal memorandum calling on schools and public libraries to pull out books that contain anti-government texts. The memo cites the Anti-Terrorism Act as grounds for the order. That's as they supposedly found some books with subversive content and communist idealism. Among those flagged are a published thesis on the literary works of the late national artist Bienvenido Lumbera during martial law, as well as Labas, Mga Palabas ng Sentro by Ruel Aguila. Aguila says the burden of proving that his book is subversive falls on the accuser.
Kaya nagsususpek ako, hindi nila nabasa. So what they did was, naghanap sila ng salita, ng lines, ng phrases. Tapos isinute nila ito dun sa kanilang paniniwala na ito ay subversive. Ang salipunan natin ng mga mamamayan, ng mga karaniwang tao, may mga karanasan sila. Yung manunulat, tinitingnan niya ito at nagiging paksa niya yan. Huwag ho kami ang inyong sisihin. Ang sisihin ho ninyo ay bakit nagkaroon ng hindi magandang pangyayari.
And for more on this issue, we're now joined by Professor Shedar Hawkson. He is the president of the department, or the chairperson of the department of Departamento ng Filipino at Panitika ng Pilipinas sa Universidad ng Pilipinas. Professor Hawkson, nice to see you again. Welcome to the program.
Nice to see you again, Carmina, and good afternoon to everyone.
Okay, first of all, do you believe that the KWF... Was that what the KWF did was actually part of their mandate, or did they go beyond their mandate by issuing such a memo?
Well, if we're talking about a memo regarding the pullout of the books, I think it's beyond their mandate already to, to pinpoint which books should be published and shouldn't be published with regards to the themes of it and with regards to... the content of the books. No, I don't think that the six or five books that were listed are deemed subversive because it just pinpoints and highlights how Filipino as the national language tries to be developed through these books.
Mm-mm. Because that's their primary goal, to make the national language alive, to further the national language. Palawakin pang husto at buhayin ang wikang Filipino. Yes. And I read through their mandate. There's nothing there that says that they're supposed to decide for the public which is subversive and which is not.
Exactly. I really find it funny and ironic at the same time that the main mandate of Komisyon ng Wikang Filipino is to develop and publish materials for the betterment of the national language. Yet, here they are telling that certain books aren't or should be pulled out from libraries and I don't know where else because it is subversive in nature, when in fact the Filipino language is a reflection of the society. It is the reflection of our history, of our realities. And these books just offers a version of the authors or the society's realities.
So parang sinasabi niyo, Professor, no, ang mandato nila para buhayin ng wika, pero itong nakakatulong sa pagpapalawig ng pag-intindi sa wikang Filipino ay kanilang kinitil.
Yes, yes. Na nakakatawa lang dahil parang merong they tried to put parang yung nagsasala sila kung ano dapat na ilathala, ano hindi dapat ilathala, batay doon syempre sa perspective nila. And I think they. I just read the statement of condemnation from several, from several commissioners, and it's really ironic. The first, we're in commission on the Filipino commission, so wikang Filipino, pero yung kanilang pahayag pareho noong kay punong commissioner Casanova ay nasa wikang Ingles. Pangalawa, why are they afraid of the materials being published? It's not just for the language, it's also part of the academic lives of people in and outside of universities and colleges. Nakakalungkot lang that they're using, they're trying to red tag people just to silence yung mga katotohanan na nangyari noong batas militar o noong mga nangyayari sa kasalukuyang panahon. So it's really funny and ironic.
But ultimately though, who's going to suffer from this move if it continues to be implemented?
Definitely the generation and the generations that are to come will suffer greatly. First, because yung threat, there is always a threat of removing Filipino as the national language, and removing such stature for the language will definitely kill the soul of the nation. It is through language that we know who we are and what we do and what our history was about. Second, it will stifle the growth of the generations to come, because for me, sharing history and giving critical thinking tenets of the educational system around the world nowadays, mawawala yung ganung aspect of us, of our generations, and even the current generation and the people, on how to critically think of what is happening in our society.
So how do you, for example, as a professor, how do you, for example, engage your students or teach them about dissent, that it is a fact of life, but how do you present it to them? Pag halimbawa may mga ganitong klaseng libro na alam, or may halimbawa merong libro na alam mo nagbibigay ng kakaibang perspektibo, it goes against mainstream thinking, and yet you present it to them. Do you tell them that this is how they're supposed to think, or do you present it as an alternative thought that would hopefully help them think critically of any given situation? Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Here at the university, we allow critical thinking, and that is one of the foundations of UP education, that we just don't process and accept things as they are, but rather think when it was written, who wrote it, to whom was it written, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. Say, for example, there are literature about glorifying the Marcos golden era, the Marcos martial law regime as the golden era of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I would tell the students, you can read those such books, but at the end of the day, you don't only read a particular book, but rather you look at the other books that's trying to tell the different story. And it is us as a class, for example, that we will analyze and discuss the pros and cons. And of course, at the end of that session, we try to weigh things as they are, no? Mm-hmm. Hindi siya pwedeng, it's just one sole book, no? It's a collaboration of writers, of books, to tell what was, or what was then, what was our history. Mm-hmm. And second, I guess it's also for them to espouse critical thinking. Mm-hmm. So for me, you don't need to censor things just for you to push your own ideology. You just let the people, the nation, analyze these books.
Mm-hmm. And but to their defense, they said that it went through a rigorous process. Prinoseso daw po nila ito kung kaya't naglabas sila ng ganong klaseng resolution or memo.
Well, in defense to Commissioner Casanova just wrote something. It did undergo a rigorous process, and it didn't, as the board or as the signatories said, parang it railroaded their other process. No? So, with regards to the process and you know what happened, really, it's up to them to discuss. But as far as I'm concerned, I guess I'm not really keen on why certain people inside KWF red tagged these books.
You know, we were able to speak with Mr. Gila a while ago this morning over in DZMM, and he did say that, you know, he wrote those three plates. And there was nothing about it that was really subversive, and it's now up to the KWF to prove that these writings are indeed subversive. But you know what else he said? Beyond the manuscripts, beyond these books, it's the threat to his life now that he's also concerned about. Kasi hindi lang naman yung libro ang sinabing anti-government or subversive. Siyempre, may nagsulat niyan. Ano ngayon ang magiging epekto dun sa mga manunulat?
Well, for some, when people try to red tag academics or writers or cultural workers, usually, ang mangyayari, we'll just continue to write and we'll just prove that this or what we're doing isn't subversive at all. At it is the burden of those who are trying to accuse us to prove that we are subversive or anti-government. I mean, for goodness sake, we are part of the academe, and what we're doing is just telling and sharing critical thinking or processes of critical thinking. So I don't know with them.
Are you now calling for the KWF to rescind that memo?
Yes, definitely. I'm calling everyone, especially every academic institution, to call KWF to withdraw that memo saying that our books are subversive or anti-government.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. We've run out of time. Professor Shadar Hawkson of the University of the Philippines, we appreciate you joining us today. Maraming salamat. Take care and keep safe.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, from there we're going to go to a break. Still ahead, a study shows the Arctic is warming at a faster pace than the rest of the planet. The possible repercussions when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on AMC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines. Going back to our earlier story now on the move by the Komisyon ng Wikang or sa Wikang Filipino to call for the pullout of books that contain anti-government texts. We'll now speak with Commissioner Benjamin Medillo Jr. Commissioner Medillo, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Mina, for inviting me here.
Okay, Commissioner, you were one of those who signed in that memo, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what did you find subversive in those books?
Well, basically, these books have contained explicit words and text types that does not belong really to on the mandate of the commission. So we actually stopped it. We did not instruct for the pull out of those books, but only to stop the proliferation.
Mm. But isn't that curtailment? Why shouldn't be seen as curtailment of one's right to, you know, to acquire knowledge and see for themselves what is wrong, what is right? Is it your mandate to tell the public which is subversive and which isn't?
Well, the Commission on the Filipino Language respects, encourages, and protects the constitutional right to freedom of expression of every Filipino. And it has a clear mandate under the Constitution and must conform to laws, rules, and regulations. And as a government agency under the Office of the President, the Commission should only perform its mandate under RE 7104 and always adhere to the laws and duly constituted authorities. And while the Board recognizes the author's right to freedom of expression, its decision to put a stop to the proliferation of these materials is not a form of censorship, but as a measure of control to prevent acts which are unauthorized by the Board, since the contracts of these books were the sole and unilateral act of the chairman. Hence, this is void ab initio. It did not, the chairman himself did not present this to the Board, and even the contracts made on all these books have not been presented to the Board.
So is there truth then to what one of the authors told us a while ago on DZMM, that this basically was an internal issue, there was a power struggle within the KWF that only resulted to what we're seeing right now, Commissioner?
Definitely. That is a hearsay, because the records will show that the chairman himself unilaterally, on a singular signing all the contracts without the approval of the Board. So he is confusing the public on the power struggle. There's no power struggle. It is the Board who instructs everything under RE 7104, not the chairman.
Let's go back to where these books were allowed to be printed. No. Take us back to that time. Was it solely the decision of Chairman Casanova, and when did he sign it?
He signed this a year ago. The fact of this discussion is that when he presented these 17 titles to the Board, the Board also in agreement with him on publication of these materials, but without any disclosure of what kind of books we're talking about. Mm. So we expected another contract that shall be signed and shall be approved by the Board, which did not happen. So basically, he transgresses the internal rule of the Board of not showing the contracts of these personalities. We do not despise these great authors, but it's just that the processes within the system of the commission has not been followed. And also,
okay, I'm sorry to cut you there, Commissioner, because you're not making sense. First, you said at least what's being reported is that you find these books subversive and anti-government. It was even reported that the memo cites the Anti-Terrorism Act as grounds for the order. But now you're telling us that it's about the internal processes within the KWF. Which one is it, Commissioner?
These are all incidental discussions that we're talking about, because we're digging in onto the bigger picture of the story. But to go to the original problem is that aside from the commission, Chairman Casanova did not follow the internal rule, transgresses the rule, did not follow the standard procedure on publication of the KWF publication, unilaterally signed all the contracts without the permission of the Board. These are all big problems. Aside from those, the texts that have been exposed by Casanova of being subversive, he exposed it by himself. This is not an academic institution whereby we can practice academic freedom. This is this is a language and research institution.
Exactly. So exactly the point of
beyond,
many.
Yeah.
It's a language and research institution, yet you're going beyond their mandate. This is the concern of some, that you're supposed to keep the language alive. And yet, with your order, you've effectively killed critical thinking. What do you say to that?
Well, the critical thinking, yeah. Well, critical thinking is a pedagogical registry. So, well, we are bound only on standardizing orthography, language development, language planning, language revitalization. But those higher thinking of being critical in such a way that literature is being used to expand that kind of knowledge.
What kind of knowledge?
That is an academic already. That should be brought on another institution.
Precisely. I'm on your website right now, Commissioner. Sorry to cut you there. I'm on your website right now, and it says here that your mission... Let's go to the mandate, okay? It says here that your mandate... Ang komisyon ng wikang Filipino ay nilikha upang magsagawa, mag-ugnay at magtaguyod ng mga pananaleksik para sa pagpapaunlad, pagpapalaganap at preserbasyon ng Filipino at ng iba pang mga wika sa Pilipinas. Nowhere in that paragraph that I just read to you, it's nowhere there that says that you can tell the public which is subversive and which is not. Explain that to us, please.
I told you a while ago that this is not a form of censorship, but as a measure of control to prevent acts which are unauthorized by the board. Since the contracts of these books are solely a unilateral act of the chairman, we only act on the laws and duly constituted authorities. Censorship, I think we do not censor. We just stop because it is unauthorized by the board. And not within the mandate of the AWR.
Well, Commissioner, now that we have this situation, there are academic institutions, the UP University of the Philippines, for one, saying that you should rescind that order. What do you say to that?
Well, I guess we have to take that up with the board. I'm just one of the members of the board, but you know, as a government agency under the office of the president, we have to adhere on the laws of and duly constituted authorities given to us.
Okay, before we let you go, can you cite to me the exact provision?
If we are an academic institution. Come again.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you before we let you go, if you could cite to us the exact provision in the Anti-Terrorism Act that served as your basis for issuing the order?
I think that is RA11479, Section 9.
Which states?
It speaks of, in Filipino, parang sinasabi dyan, talks about ang pagpapalimpang ang pagpapahayag ng mga o proliferasyon ng mga materyales na tumutulong sa ganito mga uri ng mga pahayag na politikal at di yung sumasang-ayon sa batas ay ipinagbabawal. At sa puro niyong publikasyon. At ang ating pinag-uusapan ay publikasyon. At never before that we have published a political text such as this.
You mean KWF?
Yeah.
Ano sa tingin niyo ang magiging resolusyon nito, Commissioner? Because it has snowballed into what it is right now. And people really are concerned that this is censorship, this is curtailment of rights, that this should not even be happening at this point in our history, Commissioner.
Nire-respeto po namin ang at amin pong in-encourage at pinoprotekta ng constitutional right ng kalayaan sa pagpapahayag ng mga Pilipino. At yan ay naka-enshrine sa konstitusyon ng Pilipinas. At ang sinasabi lang po namin dito ay maaari talaga magpahayag kahit sino po. At ang mga panitikang katulad nito ay nagbibigay ng mataas na kaisipan or higher thinking skills. Ano? Nagbibigay ng critical na kaisipan. At yan ay mga mahalagang esensya at elemento sa pagtuturo at pagkakaroon ng magandang kamalayan. Gayunpaman, ang aming pong opisina ay hindi po isang venue para isagawa ang ganyan mga uwi ng publikasyon. Maaari itong isagawa sa mga academic institution, pero hindi po sa aming aming opisina. Maaari pong isagawa. Yan po yung hindi po namin sinasagkaan yan, subalit pwede po itong gawin sa ibang venue ng publikasyon. Maaaring sa privado o kaya sa mga academic institution.
Final question for you before we let you go. In the book authored by Mr. Giliano, it's a collection of three plays. May you cite to us one passage or one portion of that book which made you say subversive?
I'm sorry, I do not have the books right now with me, so I cannot cite anything at all dun sa mga yon.
All right. So what do you say then to what Mr. Gilia? Yeah. So what do you say then to what Mr. Gilia said a while ago, that it's now up to the KWF to prove that what he wrote is actually subversive, because he stands by it. It is not.
No po. Yan po ay kanyang karapatan at yan po ay nire-respeto natin.
And we leave it at that. Benjamin Mendilio there, Commissioner of the Commission sa Wikang Filipino. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, moving on. New research shows the Arctic has warmed nearly four times faster than the rest of the planet over the last four decades. In this report, the UN's climate science panel says this is due to a process known as Arctic amplification, which happens when sea ice and snow melt into seawater, thereby losing the ability to reflect the sun's heat. Analyzing data gathered by satellite studies since 1979, the team found that the Arctic had warmed by 0.75 degrees per decade. Intense warming in the Arctic will have worldwide repercussions from local communities to wildlife. The Greenland ice sheet, which recent studies warn may be approaching a tipping point, contains enough frozen water to raise sea levels by around 6 meters. Filipino actress Liza Soberano, starring in her first ever Hollywood film. Soberano confirms she is joining American actors Cole Sprouse and Catherine Newton in their upcoming movie, Liza Frankenstein. Since her management switch went public, Soberano became more open about her decision to jumpstart a potential career in the U.S. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Consentino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.